This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So I got to start by asking about the suit. That does not look comfortable.
It's not so bad.
No?
No, I've got a harness on underneath, so I'm moving quite stiffly. But it's really not so bad.
Oops.
We'll talk a little bit about... this seems like... Hold on 2 seconds.
Sorry.
Not you again.
He's almost had enough of me.
We really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Really appreciate you guys coming and asking a few questions.
We heard that you guys are shooting some 6-day weeks. We've heard that it involves you waking up at 4 in the morning, mm-hmm. working some very long hours. Is this even more challenging of a role than you anticipated? And talk a little bit about just the daunting nature of this role and this project.
As far as anticipation, no. It's exactly as hard as I anticipated, so I'm okay. It's not like I'm sort of suddenly stopped and went, oh my God, this is impossible. I was expecting very early mornings, so I've got to get up, train in the mornings, and then go to work for a 12-hour day, and that's all expected and fine. As far as the sheer scope of it, it's wonderful. The more the days go on, the more I'm enjoying it.
So have you flown around on wires yet?
There's been no flying around on wires just yet. There has been an awful... Well, it's a little bit, I suppose, of being, you know, heaved about the place.
Now, what have you sort of learned about the character that sort of surprised you since you've been playing him? Or maybe that you've gotten to understand better?
Yeah. Nothing, really. I had a pretty good grip on what was going to happen. Let me think about that for 2 seconds. I may have a better answer for you. No, nothing.
It's certainly very rich in terms of coming to terms with two identities, Cal and Clark, and having to reconcile that. So talk a little bit about what's involved with that dramatically and what it allows you to do.
I can't really answer that. I'm going to have to invoke the Nolan Clause because I may give away essential things.
Even as a strategy.
Well, to talk a little bit about something that a lot of us are really happy to hear is it's very realistic. Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit about when you first heard that it was going to be so realistic based and just the way you guys are playing it.
The realism, I liked the idea of immediately because as the traditional Superman fans know what it's all about and they will hopefully love and associate with the character anyway because they've grown up with him and been there through his various stages of development. But the people who aren't diehard Superman fans still need to be able to associate with the character, and that needs to have a sense of realism in today's world, certainly a sense of science as opposed to mythology attached to it as well, so people, as I say, can associate and have an emotional connection with.
I'm talking about shooting here in Plano. Like when we were driving by, we saw like one of the hardware stores had Superman painted on the glass.
Yeah.
So, you know, just like how the community has really embraced the shoot so far.
From what I've heard, there's Superman stuff everywhere. I've heard about Superman ice cream, Superman cookies, welcome sign to Superman cast and crew outside banks, that kind of stuff. And I think it's really cool.
Have you had any scenes with Amy Adams yet?
I have had a couple of scenes. Yes.
What's the key to making the relationship between Superman and Clark and Lois work?
Superman, Clark, and Lois, the key to making it work? Let me think about that so I can give you a decent answer.
Sorry, I didn't mean
to stump. It's just I want to answer that properly because, I mean, the easy answer is acting, but there's a fine balance between, again, I've got to be careful what I say here. There's an honesty to Clark, Kal-El. Kal-El's a better way of saying it, because he is both Superman and Clark. There's an honesty to him which crosses over on both, I don't like to use the word identities, but I will, because I can't think of a better one. So it is not that tough to make that swap and change.
I understand that you've been reading some Superman comic books lately.
Nice.
I'm wondering what some of your favorites, and possibly even what some of your least favorites have been.
Least favorites is a new one. Favorites, I'll start with that. Recently, my most recent favorite is New Krypton Saga. And otherwise, Death of Superman, Return, and I quite like Red Sun. Very different, and it gave me... That was great for character study, because it gave me an entirely different perspective on the character, and therefore gave me a couple of nuances I could add. I won't tell you what they are. And least favorite? I don't really know. Haven't thought about that one.
Fair enough. I do want to recommend Cal. It's from 1996. It's a Elseworlds story, and it's where Superman lands in medieval England.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's a good question. How is it portraying such an American icon?
How is it?
It's a lot of fun. Is it intimidating? Is it?
I don't think there's an intimidation to it as such. Certainly, if I really thought about it and concentrated, there's been a couple of phases where people have said, they've been explaining to me all the Superman cookies and the ice creams, and I saw organic kryptonite next to an organic corn sign on the way down here. And there was a second where I went, wow, this is massive. And you got to ignore that and not let it get to you, otherwise you'll be focusing so much on the pressure as opposed to actually dealing with the important thing, which is doing justice to the character.
What is that costume actually made out of, and how long does it take to get in and out of that thing?
I have no idea, and anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes, 25 minutes, depending.
Michael, you can do a phoner with Michael Wilkinson.
Oh, okay, I was like...
Everybody, just because this is some kind of Kryptonian fabric of some sort that he's developed for...
Important.
Yeah.
Which side has been a little bit more difficult for you to play? I mean, do you connect more with the Clark side or the Kal-El side?
I connect with both equally. I would really want to explain why I've got a great answer, but I'm going to give away plot points.
Now, we know that Zach is shooting a lot in handheld. Looked like there was a lot of intimacy in the way that he was shooting the scenes that we saw earlier today. What have the advantages of that method been for you in character?
I mean, it's intimate for the watcher, but it's no different for the actor. John's very good, the cameraman. It's fantastic because he's not an obtrusive person. He's not in your way and in your space. He's there, and you've got a camera right here, moving forward and backwards and side to side. But it's easy to phase him out in your head. But as far as ease of acting goes, it doesn't really make much of a difference. I mean, it'll seem more intimate to you guys, but it's exactly the same for us.
David Goyer said that Superman has to make some what he called terrible choices in his story. And again, without going into detail, which he didn't, of course he would. But does that make it more interesting, right? I mean, even when you were in the running to play this, I mean, is it just more interesting as an actor to play a flawed Superman as opposed to this sort of godlike being that's, you know, invulnerable for the most part?
My instinctual answer would be yes. However, a flawed being is closer to human, and therefore potentially less interesting to play than something further away from human. I think it certainly adds an interesting touch to a character which we've become so used to being godlike, to use your word. It makes it more fun to play because there's more choice in reactions to everything, as opposed to, oh yeah, well, I'm godlike, so therefore it's, oh, I could actually do this, or this. It allows me to add more of my own flavor to this character.
How long did it take you to pick out the glasses you may or may not be wearing in this film?
It may or may not have... I don't remember, actually.
What is your personality that you are investing in for this? Some little bits and pieces of your personality that otherwise would have been here.
I'm sorry, say again?
You said that, you know, you're obviously able to bring some of your own personality.
Yeah.
Can you give any...
When I say my own flavor, I don't necessarily mean my own personality. I mean, as an actor, to leave an imprint upon a role which is so iconic is a wonderful opportunity. It's not necessarily my personality I'm putting in. It's the choices I make as an actor to add a different... Now, don't take this the wrong way. I mean, it's still very much what the source material is, but my own way of interpreting what the character is.
In the movies, and in several movies, the interpretation of Clark has been way more extreme, maybe less so than the comics, where he's bumbling and really kind of goofy. Mm-hmm. Where does Clark fall for you, the way you're playing?
The Nolan clause.
I'm sorry, man. I'd love to answer that because I put a lot of work into it, but I can't.
Do you carry yourself physically different? I mean, when Christopher Reeve played the character, he kind of slumped over and...
yes and no.
Okay.
You're obviously... everyone's been talking about the scope of the action, really big. Mm-hmm. What is the most you guys are going to be spending on one particular sequence? How many days shooting?
They haven't given me a schedule, so I wouldn't know.
I was just going to say, he's not allowed to know what's going to happen.
No, you have a couple of really well-known dads in this, Kevin Costner and Russell Crowe. Yeah. Have you had any scenes with him yet?
I've had some scenes with Kevin, mm-hmm. Yes, but not Russell yet. Great experience. To answer the next question.
What am I going to ask next?
Yeah.
Well, now you're there are the things you can't tell us about the process you're in now. Were there any particularly memorable moments in the audition process, in the testing process, leading up to this? Things that happened already, so that, you know.
Yeah. Naturally, screen testing for this was memorable, but not in the sense that a lot of people seem to assume. Which is, what was it like putting the suit on and being Superman and being there and being, you know, shot as Superman? It was more of a nerve-wracking, am I doing it right? Am I going to get the role? How do I look? Is it okay? I haven't had a chance to prepare nearly enough for this. All of the above. And so it was definitely a nerve-wracking experience. As soon as it had finished, as I always do, after you finish a screen test, I just forgot about it. And, you know, because in case I didn't get the role, you don't want to be disappointed. Because if you do that in every role you get, then you'll end up throwing yourself from a building.
How long did you know that you were Superman before everyone else did?
A few hours, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Oh, so it was real sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you can tell.
Did you test for Superman Returns as well?
Not Superman Returns, no. I don't know what it was called at the time, but it was the McG movie.
The one you never got on the plane for. Sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned. Yeah. Poor McG.
It was, the McG movie. And then when Brian came on, he had his own script and his own idea, and I wasn't a part of that process.
What was your first reaction to seeing the changes in the suit?
First reaction, I honestly thought it was really cool. There's something about the suit which you don't know what to expect. You come onto a project like this and you hear about modernization and you hear about bringing everything forward into today, and all you can do is hope that it's going to look cool and different from anything else you've seen before. And I'm pretty sure it does. And I love putting on. I love going through all the different phases of how the suit developed. And, it was really exciting.
Do you miss the red underpants on the outside?
Do I miss them?
Who says he doesn't have them?
Yeah.
I saw a pair.
You can't see them?
I'm not going to look.
The first concern, as soon as you were cast among fans, was, can he do the accent? Would you mind letting us just hear your American accent?
I under normal circumstances, if you came in on a day where I was doing dialogue, I'd be more than happy to. But because I have not warmed it up at all, it's like, doing an accent is like... going into the gym for a workout.
Right.
If you pick up the heaviest weight possible and try and clean and press it, you're going to pull something. So you need to warm it up, and then you can go into doing all the heavyweight exercises. You'll see the movie. And so you'll be able to, I would not do it justice now. I might do it justice, but it's a risk. If it comes out all squiffy and funny, then it's gonna be not good.
But can you tell us what the accent is? Like sort of in your mind, how did you sort of develop it? What was the process?
How did you develop it? Drill, 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 practice, practice, practice. Like gym training. You just gotta build up those muscles so they're used to doing that kind of movement.
Use your heart.
I had done American accents before, and I'd worked with this coach before as well. Some bits initially tricky because you're rusty, but then it got easier as time went on and it does become quite natural. I often find during a day shooting, I will speak an American accent all day long when I'm doing dialogue. At the end of the day, it often takes an effort when I'm talking to my fiance to bring my English back, just because you're so used to speaking that way.
Can we hear your Kryptonian accent?
No.
Did you hear Superman's voice in your, like, did you have in your head an idea of the voice you wanted to do for the character, whether it's Superman or Clark or, you know, different timbres?
I did. I do. And I am doing so.
Do you have, how much research did you do into playing a quote-unquote reporter? And you have new respect for all of us sitting here.
Yeah, you're really fishing.
Yeah.
Nolan Claus.
Yeah. Thank you. Nolan Claus. Sorry, Dave.
Okay.
Steve, keep trying.
And actually, I actually did not think that was a loaded question. Like, I mean, Daily Planet, you know.
Wait, you see, you've been deliberately asking loaded questions?
At that point, possibly, but not on that one. That one was like, you know, I mean, we'll talk a little bit about what the stuff that you prepared for besides, like, you know, the action stuff, besides, you know, getting training for the role physically, you know?
Okay, physical training for the role has been extraordinarily intense. Mark Twight, the chap from Jim Jones, has been putting me through the ringer big time. 2 hours a day on a mix of calories depending on what sort of work we were doing. We started off on about 3,000 a day, plus shake, so about 3,500. 2 hours work, and then we moved up to 4,000, and then up to 5,000 calories. And now we've dropped down to about 3,500 while we're doing an hour's training every morning. Because if I keep that high calorie intake, I'm gonna start putting on fat weight. But if I drop too low, I'm gonna start losing all the new muscle I've gained. But an example of the sort of workouts we've been doing recently, a couple of weeks ago, it was 100 front squats at body weight. We've been quite fond of doing the 100 repetition stuff recently, and heavy as well. Trying to think of the other good stuff.
I know he's brutal, but.
I have 100 deadlifts. Have I done that? Close enough. But it generally, so the guys work out with me now, and so we all have a bit of fun doing it as well. For example, if Mike Blevins, who's the assistant trainer, Mark Twight, myself are training, we'll just do 10 reps of a weight, and then someone drops out, they do 10. Someone drops out, they do 10. By the time the third person's finished their set, you come in and do your 10, up to 100. Otherwise, training stuff, I mean, it's huge amounts of things. Kettlebell workouts. Has anyone sort of been through a strict training program before?
As you can tell, I'm not physique, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm allergic to exercise.
Okay. Yeah. Basically, very hard work. I'd love to have Mark here so he could actually run you through some of the stuff we do. But prep-wise, the most intensive has been the physical.
You know how that would compare to something like Immortals, like your regimen and your kind of the physicality of the characters too, like with that, how would that compare to something like Immortals?
Immortals was very much a martial arts based training program, a lot of body weight stuff, very little in the way of actually lifting heavy weights, and a very, very low calorie diet. And this is the opposite in the sense that it's a very high calorie diet and being lifting very, very heavy weights.
Does it change you as a person? Like, do Do you feel like you carry yourself differently? In normal everyday life, do you feel differently? Do you feel like you walk differently, move differently, think differently?
You definitely do walk and move differently, just because if your train is good, your muscles are all equally balanced, a lot more so than, if, for example, what I had been. And I feel stronger and more able in everything I do. As a person, does it change me? I hope not. But, I mean, no one said it has so far. Then again, I'm quite big now.
Working out sharpens your mind even.
A large amount of constant activity will get things going. For example, training in the morning will have everything, all the juices flowing by the time you actually get to work. And so when you're at work, you've been already up for an hour or so, or 2 hours, and you're raring to go, where everyone else is still wiping the sleep out of their eyes.
What's it like seeing kids and people react to you in the costume?
That is the biggest of effects so far. Everyone else, you know, when people say, oh, it's Superman and all sorts, you just sort of ignore the pressure. But when it comes to seeing a kid who actually believes you're Superman, doesn't see Henry Cavill, the actor, playing Superman, it's Daddy, it's Superman, and he's hiding his face, he's scared, and then he wants to, you know, little babies reaching out for him, and that is nuts, because of the responsibility attached to that. They're gonna have that experience for the rest of their life, when they met Superman, not when they met Henry Cavill, who's an actor playing Superman. And I think that's really important for such an incredible icon, to do that just right. If you mess that up, you're the wrong guy for the role.
Talk a little bit about, obviously Warner Brothers wants to make this, they're hoping this is going to turn into a big franchise for them. Was it like a little weird for you to sign on to something where you're signing on for multiple pictures, a character that you could be playing again and again? Or is it sort of like they're only going to want to do this if the film is successful?
Pretty much standard procedure these days to sign a 3-picture option deal. So you get the first job. In fact, it's a pre-screen test deal half the time these days. So you do the screen test, and if they say they want you, you have to take the job. And then they get to choose whether you're hired for second or third. And so that's something I've really got quite used to over the years. Because you just never know.
Sorry, one more question, and he's about to go on.
Sorry,
it's
very bad news. We just need to rehearse that.
What do you
hope? Sorry, you might need to
come. It's great, you know, that we're able to get closer to these iconic characters. What do you hope that we will come away with in this new experience with Superman that maybe we didn't know before or didn't think about before?
I've got a really good answer for that. It really bugs me that I can't answer all these questions. Won't be giving away too much.
It's very, David mentioned it's a very biblical take on it. But very human as well.
I can't.
Well, I have to ask you, the Superman curse. You've probably heard of the Superman curse.
No.
Well,
no one's mentioned that to me ever.
Then I'm not going to say
anything. No, I have indeed heard of the curse. And, I honestly don't believe there's a curse. I think there's been some bad luck in the past, especially when it comes to horses. And I don't mean it as a joke. My fiance is an international show jumper. I know all the risks attached to that. You can fall off 1,000 times and being fired through fences. And then the one time you're at home around the yard, all it takes is something to startle a horse and you're off. And you fall the wrong way. There's bad luck, but I don't think there's any curse.
Remember, the Red Sox beat the thing after 80 years.
That's right.
Curses are meant to be broken.
Okay, so when I'm 80 years old, I'll be grand.
Great.
Right, well, thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry I couldn't answer half the questions. Maybe in 2013.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
We'll stop over for tea and you can talk about it.
He's perfect. He's gone.